Hello again, race fans. I'm Mike Knapp, and welcome to the Rumble Strip Podcast. Yes, you heard that correctly. Our podcast now has a name. We figured if we were going to be around for a while, we should come up with something catchy. Personally, I think the Rumble Strip is the perfect name for a racing podcast. Since any track in the world that matters has them, it leaves us open to covering all forms of racing in the future, which has always been our plan anyway. But for now, though, let's bring our focus back to the F3 Americas and F4 U.S. Championship Series. The F4 U.S. takeover continues in this episode, as there was plenty of on-track excitement as the series crowned its 2018 champion. Both series competed this weekend at the New Jersey Motorsports Park in Millville, New Jersey, which is just an absolutely beautiful facility. Hopefully, NJMP is on the schedule for next year and beyond, as it is a great track that provided some of the best racing I've seen since I started following the series. Granted, things were ratcheted up a little bit as drivers fought for their championship lives, but the long straights and fast corners of the Thunderbolt course proved to be a perfect fit for the F4 cars. By the last race on Sunday afternoon, the drivers were trying to pull off three or four wide passes into the first turn, and it made for some great racing. Want another example? Momentum Racing's Kent Vaccaro raced his way from the back in Sunday's race 3, charging from his 31st starting position to finish a career best 6th. He wasn't the only one either, as many drivers improved sometimes 10 or more spots from their starting positions. It was that kind of a weekend. When the dust had settled, though, DC Autosports driver Dakota Dickerson used his 2 wins and a 2nd place finish to clinch the season points championship. The 21-year-old from San Diego has been the series' most consistent performer all season long, having earned a win at Mid-Ohio while scoring points in all 12 races heading into this weekend. Dickerson entered the weekend with a 24-point lead over Benjamin Peterson, with 2 other challengers, Christian Rasmussen and James Raven, still in the championship mix. Peterson and Rasmussen fell out of mathematical contention early in the weekend, leaving Raven the only driver heading into the final race of the weekend with a chance to still overtake Dickerson in the points. Heading into race 3, Dickerson held a 46-point lead over Raven, so the scenario was simple. If Dickerson scored 5 more points than Raven, or won the race, he'd have accumulated enough points to be the champion, and if that didn't happen, then eventually the two would settle matters in Texas at Circuit of the Americas next month. With both drivers starting on the front row, it was the prime setting for a shootout between the two. Dickerson was able to win a side-by-side battle with Raven for the lead in turn 1 and stretched his lead out in the opening laps. 2 yellow flags bunched the field, and on the second restart, Teddy Wilson was able to wrestle the lead away from Dickerson. With just over 5 minutes to go in the 30-minute race, Dickerson made an aggressive outside pass in turns 7 and 8, to take the lead from Wilson and go on to his 2nd win of the weekend and 3rd of the season. Dickerson still has 2 races to go in the F4 season, but he feels it will be a fun time in Texas with the pressure off and the championship in hand. Heading into this weekend, you couldn't really turn a wheel wrong if you wanted to walk out of here with the championship, and that's what you did. I'm one of the few guys in the field not to make any mistakes, and you got 2 wins and you got it done.
Yeah, like you said, we really couldn't make any mistakes here. We knew we needed to at least get a win to start extending that lead, and the DC guys came here prepared, as they always do, and gave me a great car. So, you know, it was very confidence-inspiring knowing from the get-go that we were going to have the pace to run top 3, and then the first race being able to grab 2nd, extend the points lead, and then the last 2 races securing a couple wins and ultimately unofficially securing the deal for the championship. So that was the way to do it, and I can't thank the DC Autosport guys enough for all their help.
Heading into this morning, knowing you were a lot closer than you were yesterday, did it change your mindset? It seemed like you took a lot more of an aggressive stance today than I've seen you race in the past.
Yeah, I think we really just wanted to capitalize on the pace that we had here this weekend. We knew that we had a really, really strong car. So being able to maximize the amount of points that we had this weekend was crucial. So capitalizing on any opportunity that we had, especially in race 2 on the start with Kent there, being able to get him going out of turn 1, and then again here getting James on the first lap, and then trying to hold off everybody on the restarts, it was just so important for us. So Being able to secure it with a couple of wins is definitely a nice stamp on the championship.
Those restarts were just nuts. Yeah. I don't know what it was like from your vantage point, but watching up top there, I mean, it was everybody was pretty much going after the same thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So how tough was that? You had to keep your head straight.
Yeah, it was really tricky here because it has a very long front straight to begin with, but the back part of the track, actually, from where the pace car leaves us on the pace lap from where I can go, is actually extremely long. So no matter where I go in that point, they're going to have a decent draft heading into turn one. So I knew on each restart I was going to have pressure. So it was just a matter of driving all the way on the inside and making them go around us, and hopefully that they make a couple mistakes, which ultimately we were able to do. And that's what sealed the deal for us at the very end.
Well, that's what I was going to say. On one of those restarts, you had James Raven coming up on your outside and looked like he had you, and then he locked his brakes. Mm. And that allowed you to duck back under him. But I talked to him, and he said at that point that was just the move I had to make, and it just didn't work out. So, you know, it's just a matter of what you've been doing all season, just taking advantage of other people's misfortunes.
Yeah, I think, you know, James is an extremely strong competitor. He's been there all year, and it's been an awesome time being able to compete against him. Like you said, I think that move around the outside, he almost had it stuck. I actually thought he was going to get us and trying to prepare for our move back, but just, I think, barely got on the curbing there. But, you know, our pace this weekend has just been what's ultimately sealed the deal, thanks to the DC Autosport guys.
That pass on turn seven, was it? Is that one maybe in an earlier round you may not have tried to make?
I think knowing where we were in the points, it was pretty important to get the win, especially with the FIA point system, with 7 points being the differential from first to second. Teddy was definitely battling us pretty good in the first part of the lap, and turns 4, 5, and 6, we were actually side by side, so we were kind of progressively getting set up for another pass going into 7, and that's what gave me the opportunity to do it. He gave me just enough room on the exit, so it was ultimately just great racing.
Yeah, and just to have it wrapped up before you get to COTA.
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, it feels great to be able to go into COTA knowing that, you know, the pressure is a little bit off our shoulders in terms of the championship, but we're still in the hunt. We want to go grab a couple more wins, secure it with 4 in a row, so we're still going to be working hard to improve the car. I'll definitely be improving myself before COTA, so going to be looking for a couple wins.
I know you've had a lot of success. I mean, that's the reason you're here. Where does this championship rank in your career?
Yeah, it's definitely close to the top. I think, you know, winning the F4 United States Championship is something that's going to, again, be able to springboard my career. I can't thank SCCA Pro, Honda, On-Road Pirelli enough for giving me a platform where I can go out there and race and show what we can do. So being able to win F4 is definitely something that's tops my career.
Raven's championship hopes ended when he locked up his brakes in turn one on a restart and eventually fell to a fourth place finish. But it's still been a good season for the driver from Hull Beach, Great Britain. Like many of the top drivers in the F4 series, such as Rasmussen, Peterson, Joshua Carr, and Jose Blanco, the winner of Race 1 on Saturday, Raven was racing in the United States for the first time and has posted a win and 6 podiums on the season. I talked to him about his championship chase and his thoughts about his first year racing in the F4 US series.
Came in with an outside chance of the championship, gave it all you had this weekend. What are your thoughts right now?
Disappointed, but I had to try for a move around the outside at one. It was kind of, that race was kind of win it or bin it, really. Dakota had such a big lead. I was just like, well, it's either going to go in a wall or go to first position.
Yeah.
And I, at the start, my car took a little while to come on, and he's just seemed to come on straight away. Unfortunately, I actually didn't want the safety car to come out because my car was just starting to get better. I was starting to get into a rhythm, and I was slowly but surely catching him a little bit. You know, it wasn't much, but it was. I felt like I could, if I kept going, his would have gone off and mine would have just got stronger and stronger. But the safety car just kind of messed us up a bit. And then the first restart, I had to just try around the outside at turn one. It's a hard move, but you had to try and get it done. But yeah, just disappointed, but I'm super proud of the team. It's our first year in the championship properly. Mm-hmm. We've never been to, the only tracks we've been to this year before this was VIR and Circuit of the Americas. So yeah, we go again at Circuit of the Americas. And it's my first time racing in the States. I've never been to any of these tracks, so not bad.
I was gonna ask, if this is the first time racing here in the US, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, awesome. Really good. You know, most of these guys, I know they're young, but they've at least tested it most of these tracks before, and that makes a difference, especially with setup-wise and drivability-wise, you know. But no, it's been great. I mean, I'm hoping to keep going up the ladders here, and my goal is to get to IndyCar or something, or just be paid to drive would be nice, you know. Right. Anything would be great. So yeah, no, it's been fantastic. I love America, and I love the UK where I'm from, but I like this place just as well. I really, really wanted to win that race. You know, I've only won one race all year, and I felt like we've deserved better results. I just couldn't get the car to work early on, and Dakota's just, like I said, came on straight away, and that was that. Basically managed to pull a gap, but I'm really proud of the team. We've done a good job all year. We just look forward to the next round, and hopefully I'll be back racing at a high level next year.
And Coda in a few weeks, you gotta be excited about that.
Absolutely, it's a great chance to, you know, do something in front of an F1 crowd, see what the track. I've never been to Austin, let alone Circuit Americas, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and I think the team should be a great venue. Should be a great, you know, occasion, and a good time well spent there, I think.
Speaking of new drivers to the F4 series, one of the newest faces in the field this past weekend was Team Bennick Racing's Sabra Cook. The 23-year-old from Colorado made the transition from karts in 2017, and 2018 marks her first year in open-wheel single-seater cars. Cook competed in the USF 2000 series this year, and despite only getting in the F4 car on Friday and dealing with some qualifying issues, improved her position in each race during the weekend, including Sunday morning's race 2, where she started 28th and improved 12 positions on her way to a 16th place finish. Cook, who will also be in the field at COTA next month, talked to me about her weekend and what she was looking forward to in the future.
Jumping into the F4 cars for the first time this weekend, how'd it go?
First day in the car was Friday, so I actually had really good pace the first two sessions, and I was happy with that. And then just had a little bit of an issue, and we only got one lap in the third session on Friday, so that kind of derailed the momentum a bit. And then had an issue in qualifying with contact, and so I didn't get to qualify, and so started last for the race. And then so we decided to try and just make it like a qualifying session, just get laps, try and qualify good for the next race, but didn't really work out. Our pace was a bit off, and had issues with the brakes on the car and just my mistakes and stuff, so just regrouped for today. And so it went way better in the first race and picked up pace and position, so starting higher up for the third race coming up here in a bit, and just going to try and continue to keep that momentum and move forward.
What's the difference between the that you've seen right off the bat from the USF 2000 car to this car?
Obviously the F4 car is a lot heavier, slower, so it's a bit like more physical to drive, like just with the car being heavier, but the rear in the USF car is quite a bit looser, so it goes a lot faster than it does in the F4 car, so you mm-hmm. can be a little bit more aggressive in your inputs with the F4 car, and it'll just kind of absorb it and take it because of how heavy it is.
So far as the deal this weekend, how did it all come together?
So just running Team Bennick and USF 2000. So obviously they have their F4 team as well, and the guys, our engineer especially, is really experienced with the F4, F3 side of things. So it just made sense to come run these races, especially because, you know, the USF season is over, and F4 is also a bit more affordable than the USF 2000 series. So it just made sense to kind of finish out the year with this, especially with the last race being at COTA. It's good exposure, and it's good to run, have more time with the team.
From a whole bunch of different reasons, COTA is a great place to finish the season. Are you really excited to race there on an F1 weekend?
Yeah, I think it's going to be amazing, and just kind of the whole experience, I think, will will be, I think it'll be kind of like, you know, running with IndyCar with ESF stuff, but I think it will, you know, take it to a whole nother level. And I've actually never been to an F1 race in real life, so that'll be my first one, and I'll be on track as well, so I'm really looking forward to that.
So is the goal just here at the last few races of the season just to get some more experience and keep things going?
Yeah, mostly just get more experience and just kind of figure out what the best direction is for next year. So just trying to decide, especially, you know, with the whole changes and sponsorships pulling out and going, and, you know, just the series changes and everything like that. So it's just kind of, we're trying to figure out what the best option is for next year, is why I'm kind of doing F4.
Despite having just four cars in the field, the F3 America Series showed some good racing as well. Kyle Kirkwood, who won the first two races of the weekend to stretch his overall winning streak to 19, was given a 3-grid penalty for race 3, meaning he started the final race of the weekend in the fourth starting spot. Baltazar Leguizamon, who had captured the Formula Atlantics Championship earlier in the weekend, started from the pole in the final race and was ultimately challenged by Kirkwood for the top spot. The two engaged in a spirited battle for close to 10 laps before Kirkwood got around Leguizamon in turn 1 and pulled out to a lead of close to 6 seconds as the race went on. But as the 35-minute race went into its final stages, Kirkwood made a very uncharacteristic error, dropping a wheel too far on the rumble strip on the inside of turn 1 and went off course. That gave Leguizamon the chance to not only make the pass for the lead, but to open up an advantage of several seconds. To his credit, Kirkwood didn't quit. Despite having an ill-handling car, Kirkwood slowly began eating into Leguizamon's lead. Kirkwood, who after the race said he pushed as hard as he ever had behind the wheel of a race car, got within 9-tenths of a second but was a lap too short as Leguizamon took the checkers for his first F3 Americas win after 5 runner-up finishes. The F3 field also featured a new face as Jacob Abel made the jump from the F4 series to join Kirkwood in the Abel Motorsports F3 stable. The 17-year-old from Louisville, Kentucky has had a busy year, racing in both the F4 and USF 2000 series prior to this weekend. Abel had an impressive debut weekend in F3. While the learning curve was steep, he finished third in all three races, while battling good friend JP Southern behind Kirkwood and Leguizamon. What did he think about his results? He just so happened to be kind enough to talk to me about it, so now you get to hear about it too.
Jumped into an F3 car literally this weekend, since we got the car delivered earlier this week. Just your first impressions of being in the F3 car?
Yeah, I mean, the car was really good. It was a lot of fun, definitely a lot of power, a lot more tire, a lot more aerodynamics. So it's a big learning curve, but the team has really been super helpful in making that easy as possible for me. And Kyle's also been a huge help, teaching me a little bit of the ins and outs of how to drive it and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's been pretty good.
Well, and you've got the right team and the right driver. I mean, you guys have been pretty hooked up since you rolled Kyle's car off the truck. So to have that sort of team behind you has got to be huge.
Right, yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the team's been doing really well. I mean, but yeah, I'd like to get up there, maybe be battling with him by the end of the year or something like that. But this weekend's mainly just for track time. I obviously don't know the car at all yet. I don't have any experience in it. I mean, it's only my second race versus these other guys, like 8th, I think. So yeah, so I mean, it's been a learning curve, and I think we've done pretty well though.
Well, and you've been racing with JP Southern, and it seems like you guys are pretty evenly matched, at least for this week. You've led him a little bit, he's led you. You gotten side by side and raced with somebody. So that's really, has that extended your learning curve a little bit? Has it made you get more comfortable a lot faster?
Yeah, I mean, and I know JP is a clean racer. I've raced with him, I think, literally since my first kart race back in like 2014. So I've been around JP, where we're good friends, so it's, that makes it even more fun, especially when you beat him. You can have a little bit of bragging rights, but yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier when you know someone's going to race you clean, and you know it's going to be a good race and they aren't going to wreck you or anything like that, to where if it was a random guy, like, you're left guessing a little bit. So yeah, it's been really fun racing JP all weekend. I'm hoping we can continue this in the third race.
I heard you talk in another interview about aero and talk a little bit about what it's like in that car with the more speed, with the more horsepower.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the aero wash is something that I'm completely new to. So it's a new thing to me. Obviously, you can try it a little bit on the simulator, but only so much. But yeah, so when you're stuck behind someone, they're punching a huge hole in the air, so it's almost making your wings not work as well. So you're losing grip effectively. So that makes it a little bit more difficult, especially when you're stuck about maybe like 1-2 car lengths behind someone the whole race. You're right in the middle of that aero wash, so you're burning up your tires. It's physically hard because you're so on the edge every second, just trying to keep up with them. So, and that in turn makes passing pretty hard too.
What's your plan for the rest of the season? Are you going to race F3 or both F4 again, or just F3?
I think we're going to focus on F3 and finish out the season in that, and just get experience in bigger, faster cars, and maybe move into something like this next year.
The Rumble Strip didn't make it to Road Atlanta for rounds 10 through 12 of the F3 Americas Championship weekend, but let's go ahead and do a quick recap anyway. Once again, it was Kyle Kirkwood leading the way, as he captured all three races for the third time and upped his win total to 11 on the season, in what might have been the second best sports performance of the week in Atlanta, behind Tiger Woods winning the Tour Championship. Benjamin Peterson, who jumped back into his F3 car after focusing on his F4 efforts in New Jersey the previous week, scored two runner-up finishes and a third place on the weekend, while Baltasar Leguizamon had a second and two-thirds. The size of the F3 field increased to 6 in Atlanta, with the return of Peterson and the addition of Global Racing Group teammate Parker Locke. The 17-year-old Locke, who hails from San Antonio, scored a 4th and 5th place finish, respectively, in the first two races before retiring from the final race after going off track with about 10 minutes left in the event. The F3 Americas Series is off for the next 2 weeks before reconvening in New Orleans October 12th through 14th for the next round of racing. Kirkwood, who is looking to win his third series championship in the last calendar year, has 293 championship points and will take an 88-point lead over Leguizamon to the Big Easy. Rounding out the points chase among active drivers is Peterson with 102 points, John Paul Southern Jr. with 84 points, Jacob Abel with 79 points, and Locke with 22. The F4 series is off until the final weekend of the season, when they head to Circuit of the Americas for the big Formula One weekend, October 19th through 21st. Dakota Dickerson, of course, has the points championship wrapped up heading to Austin, as he has scored in all 15 races this season and has piled up 244 points. James Raven is second in points with 185. Peterson is third with 156. Christian Rasmussen has 153 points. And Joshua Carr rounds out the top five with 144 points. The Rumble Strip will join the F3 series in New Orleans in a couple of weeks. We have a lot in store for COTA, so make sure you tune in for updates on our broadcast schedule. I'm Mike Knapp. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the paddock.